Hey everyone, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I'm Becky, and joining me for this episode is Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Amanda. Hey, Amanda.
Hi, Becky.
We are continuing on in our rock star era. I am so excited to talk about this book finally. Like, years ago, I was supposed to do a quick shot with one of the contributors on it, and it didn't pan out. I love this author. Love them.
Yeah. As I was reading it, I was like, I have not read like all of her books. Like, why have I not gone back?
Yeah. And it's music to my ears to hear, because today I talked to Jenny about some other work stuff, and Jenny's like, and you were right. And I was like, I know, but thank you for the validation. Amanda had equal thoughts too, though.
Oh yeah, I mean, I knew I was probably gonna like it. I've read, you know, a couple of her others, and then I also went back and read a couple of the other Morgan books before this one. I didn't get the whole series in time, but I did read a couple. So
yeah, I thought that was a little ambitious.
I mean, I could have done it. I probably could have done it, but I had to take a little bit of a break. They have a lot of nicknames going on in those first two books. I had to take a break.
In general. Yeah.
That was going to be my question for you.
Okay. Well, let's just get into it. So on tonight's episode, we are reviewing and talking about Rockstar by Lauren Rowe. Who wants to tell us all the things?
I can do it.
Okay.
I got it. Okay. Release date, April 29th, 2019. Tropes are rock star, instant connection, second chance, one night stand, hidden identities. The series name is The Morgan Family. It's interconnected standalones. POV is dual first person. Put out percentage is 7%. The audio narrators, if you did the audiobook, are Lily Reynolds and John Lane. Okay, now I know this is Becky's favorite.
That's what I thought when I read it.
Yeah, okay.
John Lane.
This is available in Kindle Unlimited and audio.
Yeah. John Lane. We'll just get this out. I did this audio. But there's actually some really neat things that happen in this audio. And it's been a minute since I looked at the ebook, so you guys will have to correct me if I'm wrong. So in this audiobook, Lauren Rowe was one of the first that actually hired studio musicians to come in and play on her audiobooks. And in the ebook, there used to be links that you could click on to go that would take you to YouTube to hear the music.
There was only one in this one, I think, right?
Just Firefly at the end.
Okay.
Because,
but you can go to her website and they're all on there.
Okay. So she actually, and originally, Lauren Rowe actually did the audio herself for the first three books. And then she got picked up for distribution by Audible and re-recorded them with professional narrators, but brought in still the studio musicians and singers to perform on the books, because she felt, especially in her music rock star books, she felt it was incredibly important that it have the full experience of the music.
Yeah, I think when we did Swoon, like Swoon had more links, I think, than this one, but this one definitely did have links. I didn't go on, but I know they were there.
Lauren Rowe actually also has a background in music and songwriting.
I wondered, because I was like, she really knows like her musical instruments and stuff. Yeah. I'm like,
yeah, that was her first alliteration as a career right out of college was songwriting. So I think that rock stars marry really well, or musical world just merges really well to her voice and who she is as an author.
Yeah.
Okay. So first, was this your first Lauren Rowe? I know that it wasn't Amanda's, but Jenny.
No.
Because you read Reed Rivers.
I did read Reed.
Also. Oh. Can we talk about how Reed has a couple of moments in this book that were like, God, he's a dick, but also like, oh, I love him.
He was good in this one. He was so good in this one. compared that first, to
at
books.
The party, at the opening scene, when he's like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, and it's a little weird to have, like, pictures of, like, you can't do this person, this person, this person, yeah. or this person.
Right?
But then you find out later that, you know, that he was fine with her doing that person.
Right? She was. And so there is a little bit of deception in the start of this book. So let's just start right there at the beginning. In the beginning, when they first connect to me, and before we do that, let's just ask Jenny real quick. Did the instant connection and the early pop in this book bother you?
No, because they do more than like just have sex. Like, I can buy into a connection if there's like, because I can understand like that emotional connection with some, like sometimes you just find somebody that clicks, right? And yeah. like they talk about a lot of things.
Those bathtub scenes. That yes. Those bathtub scenes, like throughout the book, those are just really quiet, intimate moments.
Yes.
I think it helps, too, that he immediately starts to write a song about her in his head. So, you know, there's like this deep connection for him just upon seeing her. Like, he's already composing entire songs to her before he even speaks to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they talk about, like, deep stuff, yeah. like her brother dying. And I mean, not something you're just going to be like, hey,
I guess
that's why.
I guess this book probably should have some content warnings.
Oh, yeah.
There's the death of her brother from childhood cancer. And then also then the death of her stepfather later on.
Yep.
But
yeah, and then they're in the hospital with the kids. That have cancer, and which is, you know, those are pretty emotional scenes.
But the way that it's all handled, none of it feels like it's done for shock value. You know how sometimes we get content for shock value? Yeah. This does not feel like that.
I agree. It feels like it's part of life, and it's unfortunate, and it's shaped her, but...
Yeah. So they meet at this party. He's instantly, like... vibing to her. He's writing those songs like the Ultraviolet,
the Elvis baby
disco mama.
Yeah, I love that
disco mama.
Like, I wrote it down here, and it's a hit woman Elvis disco mama.
Yeah, he's so into her right there from that moment. But there is deception. She does not say who she's connected to, and then at the very end and she doesn't tell him who the boyfriend was that cheated on her.
Yeah, and he doesn't tell her that he's been signed to Rivers Records.
River Records. And she doesn't know any of that till they're done that night, that day.
Yeah.
And she's like, go on your tour, have fun, you do what you need to do. And if you still want me, contact Miranda. And I forgot, because I recently read Coming Home, which is Seabomb's book. And we'll talk about that here in a second. Well, at the end, we'll talk about it. I won't spoil that one for anyone. But I forgot that Miranda works for Reed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it had been a while since I'd been in the Reed Rivers Morgan family universe. So... they go forward. He struggles on tour.
He does.
Just a bit.
Yeah. I mean, he describes himself as like a, you know, an introverted extrovert. You know, he likes to perform. He loves the musical aspect of it, but he does not like the grind. He doesn't like, you know, being around that many people. Like, he's not getting his alone time to recharge. And they're the opening act, so they have no say in anything.
Right. Well, and then so we fast forward through all of the world tour, which we don't get a ton of, which I appreciated.
Yes.
We don't know that he tried to hook up until he talks about it in past tense. You know, he flirts with women, but he's like, oh, I have a girlfriend kind of thing. And him actually hooking up with somebody is not blatantly shown on page. And I think that's really smart. Lauren Rowe did that.
Right. Yeah. It's just kind of like in passing, like. He tried, but he did have sex with other people, but it wasn't
not that
And
connection.
yeah.
And he just finally stopped doing it and instead got drunk and drugs, living that part of
taking pills from like random people.
Yeah.
Right.
And then his brother cracked me up.
Well, when Kobe and Ryan, Captain, show up in the hotel room after his New York, it was his New York show, right?
I think so.
LA.
LA show. The LA show.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm tasting colors. He's vomiting. And his brothers are just like,
you're going to rehab.
Yeah.
Or therapy.
Therapy. Rehab. Yeah.
Therapy.
But so Kobe's book, which Jenny hasn't read yet, and I won't spoil it. His female main character pushes him to therapy.
Yes.
And that the mental health of overcoming something traumatic is really important to that book, to that story. And kind of through the rest of the books in this series, in the Morgans, Colby is the voice of reason that's pushing and saying, you cannot do this on your own. And that just continues to show his character growth from the start of his book to where he is at that moment. So, but I felt like that was really well done.
Well, is he the, like, firefighter, paramedic?
He's the firefighter.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because, because he was the one that was like, you seriously just, like, took a random pill. Like, dude.
Yeah.
Really?
And well, yeah.
Get that.
And Ryan, Captain, he owns a series of bars. And he owns some bars with Josh, who's Kat's husband, in Vegas. And, you know, Josh kind of. But again, it's the don't take the random drinks, do not take pills from people kind of thing. But I felt like that part of the lifestyle was really well shown.
Yeah, I agree.
And he thought his arms melted off, Stacy says. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yes. He kept asking to have his arms put back on.
Yeah. I actually thought that was pretty funny. You know, and they knew exactly. They both diagnosed him, like, right there. They're like, you took Molly. You know, obviously a bad dose of it. And then next, he, then his world crashes, right? Because he finds out that Violet is the girl for C-bomb that got away.
Yeah.
When she
and he
shows...
and C-bomb have developed this really close connection on tour.
Yeah. So how did you feel about that, Amanda?
I was good with it. I mean, because I think I've, you know, I've like already seen them a little bit in other books. And so like, you know, that Dax and Violet are supposed to be together and you know that, which I hadn't read Seabomb's book at the time, but you know that Seabomb has a different outcome. And I mean, I get like why he was mad and I get why Dax withheld it. He's trying to protect his band. He's trying to, you know, trying to do the best thing for everybody. But, you know, it's like.
So Lauren actually gets a lot of hate for that balcony scene where Dax allows C-Bomb to pour out his feelings and to talk about Violet. A lot of people felt like it almost like it makes Dax look bad, that he should have spoken up sooner. I feel like we get a lot of emotional vulnerability in that scene.
Okay, as an introvert, if like I was in that situation, I would not have done anything different.
Same.
You just would have listened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd been like, man, that sucks. I need to go.
And I mean, he's been on tour with C-Bomb and knows how he reacts to things. Mm-hmm. So
right.
I mean, there's a lot going on there. And like, if you understand that, like, that's he's probably going to react violently. And also that, you know, he's trying to not get his band kicked off, you know, tour or off the record label, because he doesn't at that point, he has no idea how Reed's going to react. C-Bomb is a much bigger draw for the record company. I mean, I think he did the best that he could in the situation that he was in while trying to keep everybody's feelings.
Whoa. Yeah. And at that point, like he has just had an argument with his bandmate.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know like how closely Violet is connected to Reed.
Yeah. He still doesn't know that yet.
So like, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a mess.
So I think he did the best he could. I wasn't mad about it.
So fast forward to the next day, to the wedding. And he thinks Violet's there on Reed's arm.
Yeah.
Which I love that scene. I love that scene. And then they sneak off and he texts his, like, his connection to his sister family. And his mom and his family. Like, there are no secrets in the Morgan family. No.
Yeah. Yeah. I was a little, I think that's part of me. I'm like, I don't know how that would ever work out in real life, really, for anybody. I do not have that kind of.
Could you imagine sneaking off and that kind of doing that kind of thing at a party, sneaking off? And one of the first people you talk to right afterwards is your mom.
Yeah. And his sister, both. I mean, like, it was both of them.
Yeah, his sister knew right away, and his mom catches on pretty fast. And yeah, then they're all just like.
And then the whole family knows. Like, word travels so fast in that family.
Yeah, he's not even, like, out there yet. And his whole family.
And they're all talking about
everybody
it.
Everybody knows. Yeah. Well, and it was really interesting. So, you know, next thing I want to talk to you guys about is this, let's keep our relationship on the down low. Let's be together, but not tell anyone. We can be together in the hotel and do all the nasty, naughty bits, but nobody out in the world can know. But we're still going to travel in a pack together. Like, they go to the hospital. She's doing stuff with Aloha. Maddie and Peen are in and around. And, man, in that part of the book, he starts to lose a little bit of his shine.
Yeah, absolutely. And then he kisses her while he knows someone's watching.
Yeah.
With their phone out. I mean, you know, it's. And he goes into it and she calls him on it. She's like, you know, are you trying to, like, get caught so that you don't have to make this decision? Yep. You know, and eventually she's like, well, I'll make it for you. You know, it's like, I don't love him during that whole section. I get it, you know, and I don't, like, hate him for it, but I didn't like it.
Yeah. I was definitely like, oh, yep. He's like 20 something. And
Yeah.
It definitely,
I think it sets up like a really good opportunity for Violet to, like, be the adult one and be like, okay, like, if you, like, I'm gonna go, you figure yourself out. Like, it gives her an opportunity to, like, stand up for herself.
Yeah. I did like that Dax remained sober even through all of that and how rough that was, and he really had to think out some life choices. He continued with the therapy. Like, I really like all those pieces. And with you, Jenny, too, I agree. And Amanda, I like that Violet is like, peace out till you figure you out.
Mm-hmm.
Because her upbringing, especially after you read Reed Rivers' books.
Yeah.
And you know what she went through with his dad and the things that their father did. I now know, like, you know why she is so much like, I will not be your dirty little secret. I will not.
Yeah.
And you can start to see, it's really interesting as somebody that's read Smitten and Swoon. Which, Amanda, we did a group read on Smitten, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
Jenny didn't do it with us.
Yeah, I really? Don't.
And I'm like, that's going to be your favorite
I
book.
Was doing. I have no idea what I was doing.
Don't you think
that
Smitten
time.
Will be Jenny's, like?
Oh, yeah, I think, yeah. And no, we did Swoon, too. We did Swoon, like, in a Discord read.
We did Smitten as a Discord read, I think. You and I did Swoon as, I think, a quick shot, one of your first quick shots you did.
Was it? Okay.
I'll have to look. Right. I just can't believe Jenny never read Smitten.
Yeah, I.
Because she's like, I really want Fish's story. And I'm like, okay. But in reading, so you start to see at the beginning of Rockstar, and it makes reading Rockstar and I knowing what happens in Smitten and Swoon, you actually do start to see some of the Frisures from the pressure of being a band of three.
There we go.
Okay, there we are. We're back on. I was talking about, we start to see the Frisures and the fractures between the band members from the pressure. You know, they've been best friends.
I was close. I was like, band dynamics. Like,
yeah. I mean, they're really good best friends, but, you know, like you can start to see Colin is not as enamored anymore. Yeah.
With... Well, and when you're with your friends 24/7, I mean, that's
well, and
be a
they've
lot.
Been friends too for even longer, right? Like back to like
right childhood,
elementary yeah. school or yeah. something. So I mean, that's a lot of time being together.
Yeah,
yeah.
I do think Fish's crush on Mama Morgan is hilarious.
It is
Dax's mom, not Stacy's mom.
And then Violet's like, "Yeah, your mom's hot."
Yeah,
yeah.
She's like, "I get it."
Fish is so awkward though, but he's so true blue. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think of their names?
Like the nicknames or just
let's just start with 22 Goats. Their name as oh, a band.
Okay.
Let's start
like
with the band
name.
Yeah, the reason behind it with how they found it. Like I that was great.
And
I liked it a lot.
The tattoo.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you, like, I can just see, like, the crappy goat tattoo, like, in my mind. Like, dude.
Yeah, goat smiling. Okay, another problem, though, that as we get into the family, because we see it at the wedding, and then after they break up, and then and she finds out her dad has passed, and they see it, they go to Seattle, and you start seeing all the family, and the more family that comes into the mix, the more you realize everyone has seven names.
Yeah, but I read Hero and Captain and it's so much worse in those two books that I was actually, this was refreshing compared to those two books, honestly.
My. Okay. I think that's
fair. It
was
fair. A lot.
Well, and in Hero, you get not just her and him and introduced to all the family. You do meet some of the family in Kat and Josh's book.
Yeah, and I didn't read those. But, so those two books were like, I mean, and I knew a little bit, but because I'd only read the Rockstar stuff before I'd read, you know, Swoon and Smitten and Reed Rivers, I didn't have that much of a Morgan background.
Yeah.
So it was a lot.
Yeah. And Stacy says their family is a big nickname family, so she loved it.
Some of it I liked, but there's a paragraph, and I think it's in Captain, where they go on for the 30 different nicknames that Kat has that all have to do with jizz.
Yeah,
and I was like, okay, I'm like
that's the line.
I was like, I can't.
And
I
now
was like,
we're done.
If my brother called me anything related to any of that, we would have big problems.
Yeah. So, they have a third act breakup, but it's not, I don't know if you can call it a third act breakup because it kind of happens a little before the start of the third act. Right. I mean, it happens. They kind of break up around 65%.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, I don't know if I would call it a third act breakup. I mean, it's definitely like they have a break,
But they're not technically together.
Yeah, but they're technically not together. Exactly. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if I call that a third act breakup.
But I think that we had to have that because Dax had to do a lot of work.
Yeah.
To get them to be back together.
Well, yeah, he does it quickly. I mean, it's not like he's stewing on it.
No, he continues with the therapy. He, you know, and then he finds out about her dad passing. Real quick before we move on to that, though, what did we think of Caleb Seabomb's declaration of love? I want to get back together with you. I feel bad for him. My heart broke
too.
For him a lot in that scene.
Yes. Yes. I mean, my heart already broke for him in the other books, even though he was a big jerk. So, I mean,
yeah,
but I immediately read his book after this one because I needed him to be happy. So.
Jenny, what did you think of it?
I was a little more like, dude, maybe you're pushing it a little too much.
See, and maybe it's because we know how bad it gets.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also was like, because his sister shares an apartment with her. I'm like, that's got to be awkward.
Yeah. Yeah. Miranda, though, you see Miranda, especially in Reed's book, and then you see her again in Seabomb's book, obviously. She is not a weeping flower.
Oh, no, yeah. And I is could she ever going to get a book? Because I don't need that one now.
We're going to have to, we'll have to message Lauren. She already emailed me once. I'll just keep emailing her. Lauren, if you're watching this, because I did tell her in my email yesterday that we were doing this review. If you are watching this, could you please let us know if Miranda gets a book?
Yeah, we need to know. That one.
So he finds out that her dad died and he immediately goes to Seattle to be with her. And it's convenient that it's Seattle, right? And that's where all his family is, you know. And then he does things and it takes her a minute to realize what he's doing. That he's not wearing a hat. He's not wearing sunglasses. His hair is one of the things he's known for. He is full out being Dax Morgan. And I felt like that was, it's not a grand gesture, but it was. Like, it spoke volumes.
It was an important gesture.
It was important, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you feel that that was enough?
Yeah, for because, me, yeah, it was for me.
For me, I think also, like, Reed sharing the recording with her went a long way. Because, like, when he, like, got out of the car and, like, goes to hug her, and I was like, dude's gonna, you're gonna get slapped. You're gonna get hit again, like. He's already sporting a shiner and but then when she's like Reed shared the recording, I'm like, oh, that makes, like, because then she had time to process it and, like, deal with her feelings.
He pretty much word vomited and then sang right after his word vomit to Reed, and I did have a little bit of secondhand embarrassment for him in that situation. I'm like, you do not know how he is going to react. Like, babe.
Yeah, maybe. But I felt like it was important that he put himself out there in front of Reed too. Yeah. So I felt like that was all part of the importance of his gesture.
Yeah. No, I think he it was
also
important.
Signed his paycheck. So
yeah.
Right. Like, there were a couple moments. I also, and I'm sure this is spoiler, but he ends up buying the more off the beach house and not the condo. Because he wants to be the central location. But she doesn't say that in the book. We know that from the next books.
Okay. I kind of assumed he did.
Well, because he saw the one guy where he's like, yeah, I wanted everybody to come to me. I wanted to be the place that we all felt comfortable in hanging out. And I think that him loving the lead singer of Red Card Riot helps him. Dean.
Yeah.
Helps him kind of figure out where he needs to be in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, it's kind of like a template for how he wants his career to go.
Yeah.
And how he wants to live his life, really.
Anyway, okay, so we'll finish this up real quick. Are there any characters that were super standouts for you that were not Dax or Violet? Like, did you come away, walking away going, I really love this character? I really need this character story. I mean, we've talked about a few, but is there one that was, like, super?
You know, I'm going to read Fish next, though. So.
Going to read Fish next.
Yeah, I really would like for, you know, Miranda to get a book, especially after reading Finding Home.
Yeah.
And I also like the acronym of his name.
Fish?
Yeah.
Fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know if we've back up on YouTube. I'm sorry if we're not. In the grand scheme of things, here we try this again. Sorry, everybody. Okay. So I asked about if there was a standout character for you. And then my next question was going to be, will you read Lauren Rowe again?
Oh yeah. I mean, I already did right after.
But we've been waiting for Seabomb's book since the end of Swoon. I mean, really, even before. Reed Rivers book, I feel like we were looking for C-bomb.
Like Reed Rivers was probably when.
Because C-bomb just kept picking the girls that everybody else fell in love with.
Yeah. Poor guy. Yeah. And I think that's why I didn't really get mad at him in this book, is because I was already like, I already wanted him to have a happy ever after. I was just like, okay.
And we knew it wasn't Violet. I did read this epilogue because I wanted to make sure I could talk about it with you guys and that I remembered it correctly. In the epilogue of this book, they are at Peen and Maddie's wedding in the Bahamas, which this family does destination weddings because Peen and Maddie met at Ryan's wedding, Captain's wedding in Hawaii.
And Josh offers to pay for it. So, if somebody offered to pay for it, I'd be like, sure.
So, at that wedding, Dax and Violet announce that they're pregnant, and then they also get married the next day.
Yes, I thought that was cute.
I thought it was really well done. I liked it. Although she didn't get a fancy wedding dress after she talked about her.
Right.
I mean, and they have so many family members. It's just easier at this point. I mean, there's so many people.
Right.
Well, and that's, I think it works for their family because they are like so invested in each other. Like, I told Becky earlier today, I was like, that would not go over well. Like,
yeah.
But then, like, they made sure the guests that were there, the little girl, puppy girl, and her parents from the.
Oh, yeah.
I was just like, oh, okay. Okay. That was so sweet. And I did like how Violet doesn't use her connections. She could have totally used her connections to move herself forward in her career.
Yeah.
Right.
And she doesn't. She lets it happen organically. And I really liked that about her. This book does make me want to reread Peen's book.
I am going to go back and reread that because I had stopped before I got to that one and like took a book in between. And then I went into Rockstar and Finding Home. Like, so that's going to be the one I go back to.
Okay, so let's do our thumbs up, thumbs down. Jenny, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
Amanda, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
I do think Dax is my favorite Morgan, just so we're all really clear. If people liked this book, what other books should they try reading?
I didn't really have a lot because I think this is like, this one's a little bit different. And I think we probably went through some of the recs that I would say for this one last week. Because it's not really, I mean, there's a lot of big feelings, but it's not very rock star angsty. I mean, there's a little bit of the drugs and the drinking in the beginning, but I just feel like, I don't know. I didn't have a lot of good recs because I don't know a ton that are specifically like this that we didn't mention last week, maybe.
So I'm actually going to, Jenny, do you have any?
No, I would echo what Amanda says. Like, it's definitely a different dynamic, especially since they both have connections.
Yeah. So I'm actually going to spin this on its head a little bit. So a while ago, I did a listicle about if you like this sports romance, read these rock stars. Because they have similar vibes. So,
got a sports.
So I'm going to go with sports recs for this book. So if you like how interconnected this world is and how this is like family, but also found family, Helena Hunting's All In series.
Yes.
Sawyer Bennett's Pittsburgh Titan series. Because there's connections on all sides coming in. You know, you've got... Yeah. Especially Drake's book, like where Brienne is the owner and they're coming together and you kind of have, you know, then you get Bane's book with his sister. I didn't mention these two last week. These are rock star books. Helena's Pucked series, I think, too, is as messy as these Morgans.
Yeah, and they got some crazy going on, too. So
yeah,
that works.
Emma Hart's The Burke Brothers. It is three or four books, and they're brothers that are all in the band together.
Oh.
And book one is a secret baby, and then they go out on tour. And it's just really, really exceptionally well done. They have a mom that's in the middle of stuff, kind of being like, get your shit together, get your head out of your ass. and then Julia Woolf's Seasons Change also, I think, is messy. with the found, and it's more found family, but it's
I
messy.
Only read the one in that one, but yeah, I could see that.
Okay. So I think that those, I think if you flip this on its head and think about it as like a sports romance with the, you've got someone that's a star that with a family or a found family that's a little extra messy, it really does open it up. You could even say like Cary Elwes Winterville could even be similar, you know, because they're all in each other's business.
The interconnection. Yeah.
Yeah. With that, it's that family saga.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of Marie Johnston's books would work too. Like, I think if you like Marie Johnston, you probably would like Lauren Roe and vice versa.
Yeah, because you get those big, deep feelings without the like in your face angst, I think.
Yeah. Even Jay Salmon's Her Doctor series, I think you get that too. With that, you know, the family that's in your business, you get deep feels. Not everybody in that family is perfect. So, Carrie Ann Ryan's The Montgomery Family would also work, I think, as a comparison. And she has
rock stars.
Yeah, any
of those big family series that we tend to like.
Yeah. We have a type. Shocking, right?
Apparently.
Okay. Well, thanks everyone for sticking with us through all of our technical issues tonight. That's a wrap on this episode. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into Rockstar by Lauren Roe. We'll be back. Oh, we're going to be back Friday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the YouTube, because we are going to review Whitney, My Love by Judith McNaught from last month that we missed. And then we'll be back Sunday night on the YouTube. And we're going to break down all of the crap happening in the first quarter of 2025 in the book world.
Yeah, it might be a long one.
It might be a long one. And then we're going to be back next week. And we are deep diving into Lilac by B.B. Reid, which is a Why Choose rock star romance, which we haven't really done.
Nope, we're going outside the comfort zone a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to see how this goes. Also, I will put it on in our on-the-shelf show notes, but I do have a reading order for Lauren Roe's, her books. So for the Morgan family and How Things Fit, I do have a reading order because somebody asked. And then I think Amanda and I are going to do a quick shot for Coming Home.
Yes.
So that we can let you know if you should read C-Bomb's book, which, spoiler alert, you should. And again, you can find, we have a series of three quick shots for Reed Rivers books. I'm pretty sure we did Swoon. I don't know if we did Smitten or not. So anyway, I've done quite a few Lauren Roe books because I like them. Anyway, thanks everybody for reading this and joining me tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Until next time, everybody, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.